You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to learn more about Lutheran Braille Workers and meet their new president today. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Robert Hartwell. He is president of Lutheran Braille Workers. Dr. Hartwell, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
It is so good to be a part, and I have my coffee.
All right. What coffee are you having today?
Now, I don't even know what exact kind it is, but it's hot and it's delicious.
That's amazing.
Sarah, what coffee? Are you having coffee this morning?
I have cold brew.
Cold brew.
It's still, as I do every day.
Yes. At the time of recording, it is still warm in St. Louis. So the day that we're recording this, it's still hot outside. It's not quite time to switch over to hot coffee. So Dr. Hartwell, you recently joined the team at Lutheran Braille Workers as the new president. And I'm sure you have learned a lot about Lutheran Braille Workers as your time now as president, and perhaps before as well. Do you have some stories to share with us about the work of Lutheran Braille Workers today?
I sure do. So I've known about Lutheran Braille Workers for a long time, and now I'm learning so much more. But what I've always loved about it is its emphasis on God's Word. So as a parish pastor for 32 years, I spent a lot of time talking about God's Word and encouraging people to get in the Word. And I think sometimes as sighted people, we take that for granted, that it's available and that we can easily access it. And then I thought about the 9 million plus blind or sight impaired persons in the United States who don't easily access the Scriptures and how heartbreaking that is. I mean, I know that I've had events in my life where the Scriptures literally were my lifeline, encouragement, guiding. And so the thought that there were people that didn't have access just broke my heart. And so when the possibility came up to be president of Lutheran Braille Workers, the idea of being a part of helping blind or sight impaired persons have access to the Scriptures and to work with them as equal partners was just so compelling.
Share with us some stories of how Lutheran Braille Workers really helps people know the Word of God.
So actually, one of the first experiences I had as president, and it's always a little daunting to be the new guy and trying to figure everything out, but we were contacted by a Lutheran pastor in India, and he had about 13 young men who were blind or sight impaired, and he wanted resources for them. And he actually has big plans, and the big plans are for a residential school and increasing the number of students, male and female, that they're able to help to learn to read Braille and live in a sighted world. And the funny part was, all of our resources are free. Yes, you heard right, free, just like the grace of God. And so this pastor requested 50,000 Braille Bibles, which is a lot of Braille to produce. And so we had to say, you know, let's start a little lower than that and then work our way up to your goal. But as he talked about these young men and the struggles that they face, it was just, again, heartbreaking how much better their lives would be with access to the Holy Scriptures.
You mentioned a request for Bibles in Braille. I would imagine that a Braille Bible is not nearly as thin as something that's just printed word with ink. How many volumes does it typically look like? How many volumes are typically in a Braille Bible? Any idea?
So it is about 5 foot of space on a bookshelf.
Wow.
So it comes in several volumes. In fact, when people order a Braille Bible, they expect to get a box with a book in it. And what they typically get first is a box with a book of the Gospel of Mark and Galatians, let's say. And then the rest of the books follow.
Yeah, when we met your colleague this summer, and she was just telling us a little bit about the Bible that she's had since she was a child. And I am a sighted person, so I don't really think about what that means to have that kind of Bible. And she was telling us about the different volumes that she has. Can you explain to us just a little bit about the Braille Bible, what it is, what it looks like for those of us who've never seen that 5 feet of bookshelf space? That's amazing.
So think of a scrapbook, and the scrapbook is very thick because there's Braille dots on both sides of the book. And actually, a Braille Bible has 37 volumes. So, and again, takes about 5 foot of space on a shelf. So it takes a little bit of learning to navigate, not just the Braille, but the use of the Bibles. But I'll tell you, those who read Braille and get a chance to have the Holy Scriptures and hold them in their hands and go to the location that they want to go back to. I mean, you know, again, we take that for granted. We can open our Bible and go to John 3:16, and we can find that easily. But for a Braille person to be able to have access to a Bible and to go to where they want to go and to study it and learn, it's just amazing. So we also do specialized large print. And what does that mean? It means a print that's in the 18-point font on paper that does not glare. So it's got to be a special kind of paper to help people who are low vision to see it. And that's 26 volumes, so that's also very big, a little less than the 5 feet of space. And even 14-point specialized font on glare-resistant paper is 7 volumes. So yeah, so they're big, but they're dearly loved. And so sometimes people even talk about, is Braille in decline? And with audio resources and advances in medicine and technology, there is a bit of a decline, but not when it comes to Bibles. Because again, you know, your Bible is very precious to you. You probably have turned to it over and over again. And that's the same for somebody who's blind or sight impaired. They would like their Bible that they can go to and touch and feel and experience the comfort of God as their own.
I'm sure the Bible is probably the piece that's requested the most. Are there other resources that Lutheran Braille Workers provides or prints in Braille?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. So yes, so we do the Bible, of course, and that is the main thing that we want to share with those who are blind or sight impaired. But we also offer resources from Concordia Publishing House, Luther's Small Catechism, Portals of Prayer. We also offer resources from the LWML. I mean, just imagine not being able to have access to the resources that they offer, the Bible studies and the quarterlies, and the Lutheran Layman's League and Lutheran Hour Ministries. Just a printout of the Lutheran Hour Ministries Sunday and sermon in Braille is particularly well-received by many people. And we seek to discover new resources that people are interested in and that can help them grow in faith. So it's not a stagnant list, but it's an ever-growing list of resources that are centered around the Bible and faith to help them grow. So I'm not sure I even told you this, but 95% of blind or sight-impaired persons are unchurched or underchurched. Now, that makes total sense, right? Because if you're blind or sight-impaired, it's very difficult to navigate a new situation, and churches, for whatever reason, they built with lots of stairs and pitfalls, so we certainly understand it. But again, getting the Bible and devotional resources into the lives of those who are blind or low vision is just crucial, and crucial for their salvation and for their relationship with Jesus and their faith in God, but also for the church. So this 9 million plus blind or sight impaired people are people that are God's creation. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, as baptized Christians, they have spiritual gifts that the church needs. And so the fact that 95%, just a heartbreaking number, are unchurched or underchurched is a number that we'd like to decrease and bring more blind and sight impaired persons as full equal partners in Christian ministry.
That 9 million number, as you're making your way around talking with people about the work of Lutheran Braille Workers, how well is that known? How much of this work is known among people that you've been able to talk to?
I think it's not well known. I mean, no disrespect, and I'm not trying to be funny, but the blind and sight impaired community is out of sight. And so what that means is that you may know someone in your family, or you may know somebody in your community, but there are many people that don't know anyone who is totally blind. Perhaps they'll know someone who's sight impaired, macular degeneration, and an older person, but they just don't know anyone. So this also is the sad reality of the 95% statistic, because there are many churches where there is not one blind person in that congregation. And they're certainly in the community. You know, blind people exist everywhere across our nation and the world, and they just don't happen to be in church. Or in some cases, they are in church, and for those congregations, they're doing something right. And that's one of the things we want to focus on as well in the future, is best practices for congregations to welcome blind or low vision persons. You know, how do you do it? So I've been a parish pastor for 32 years before becoming president of Lutheran Braille Workers. And I just think of my own parish and the roadblocks and the barriers and the hurdles to allow a blind person to be an equal partner in ministry.
We are talking with Reverend Dr. Robert Hartwell, president of Lutheran Braille Workers, today learning about the work of Lutheran Braille Workers. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Our guest today is the Reverend Dr. Robert Hartwell. He's president of Lutheran Braille Workers. We've been learning about the work that they do, that Lutheran Braille Workers does, not just here in the St. Louis area, but all around the globe. It sounds like you mentioned earlier that someone reached out to you from India. How far does the reach of Lutheran Braille Workers go, Pastor?
So it is international. So it's primarily in the United States, but it is all around the world. So we've produced 15 million volumes over the lifetime of our ministry in 40 languages in 164 different countries, mainly 9 languages that we work in now. And English and Spanish are our two prime languages that we work in. But it is an international ministry. And even the pastor of the Indian church that called about his blind school for blind young people. He had a specific, they speak English, of course, but they also speak an Indian language. And it had been one that we had produced 40 years ago and had stopped because the need had stopped. But here it is again. So now it's figuring out how we can restart that process.
Are you producing those different languages in the Braille Bibles and resources?
So 9 languages that we produce in Braille and in specialized large print. But
is there a difference between Braille in English and Braille in other languages? I have no idea.
Well, that's a great question. Yes, Braille is language specific, and which is what makes it a challenge, because you need to not only produce the Braille dots that are the alphabet and the numbering system, the text of Braille, but you need to do it in the language that is being received.
How does that work then? This is fascinating, because we talked about this with like American Sign Language or things for a deaf community, but I don't know that we've talked about this for Braille, the differences in the language. How does that work then, producing all of those different things for different languages in Braille?
Well, God has gifted us with some wonderfully talented people that are good in languages, and we have the mechanisms to produce the Braille. And so you put those two together, and a lot of work later, and you get Braille in a language that somebody can read.
What would be a good first step for churches? You were talking about sometimes churches can be kind of challenging, difficult to navigate, or to maybe not as welcoming. What is a first good step for a congregation to be welcoming to someone who is blind or sight impaired?
Well, I think a great first step is just large print. Many congregations project their worship, which is wonderful for them, but they should have a large print copy of their worship as well, and it needs to be at least 14 point font, if not 18, which is big. That's work. And every Sunday, you're not going to have someone who takes advantage of that, but that's okay. It's there. And so a person who is low vision or sight impaired knows that if they go, they're going to have the ability. And it includes not just the liturgy and the prayers, but the hymns. So one of the resources we produce are beloved hymns. And it doesn't have every hymn possible, but it has most of the hymns that we all love to sing in Braille, so that a person who is blind can sing along and be a part of the worship experience. So I'd say just having that available, whether somebody's taking it or not. And I can just imagine congregations always want to be frugal, and that's a good characteristic to have. And so you don't want to waste paper. But again, you have to have that resource, and it has to always be available, so that somebody knows that if they bring someone who is sight impaired, they're going to have that ability to follow, and it's there. The ushers know where it's at, and they're able to receive it freely. And that's a simple step. More difficult and challenging steps are what we call companions. And so for especially a blind person to navigate a church, particularly at first, requires a companion, somebody that can be there to guide and to let them know we're going up those 12 million steps that they built into this church. Why, I'm not sure. They figured we would never get older, but they did build those stairs and just serve as a guide to get in the church, to get in the sanctuary for worship, to go to communion, to go to the coffee hour. The coffee hour, right? That's very important. And so just to be what I call, and this is my phrase that I keep using, and I hope it catches on, but to have the blind or sight impaired be equal partners in ministry. And so, you know, obviously they, like each of us, need support in particular areas, but they also have great spiritual gifts. You know, Brooke, that you, I think, talked to recently, one of our staff members, is a great example. Well-educated, smart, and lots of great ideas. The church is better off because of her and her wisdom. And the same is true of all blind or sight impaired people. Their spiritual gifts need to be unleashed in the church, and they can't be in use in the church if they're not in church.
Yeah, it was great to talk to Brooke and learn just in our, I don't know, 5-10 minute conversation. She has so much wisdom to share about the gifts that the blind and sight impaired people have to give to the church, and ways that we can just kind of think outside of our own experiences and our own contexts as sighted individuals, to just think of these things from somebody else's point of view. I think that talking about having the large print bulletins available is a bit of low-hanging fruit, a little bit of work, but something that is very manageable. Also sounds like a great talking point for congregations if someone sees that and they're able to have a conversation about why that's available. Why is this work important to you? You sound very passionate about it. Why is the work of Lutheran Braille Workers so important to you?
So it is important to me from a theological perspective. God's word is a means of grace, and it's the truth of God presented to us through the scriptures. And so that's what I have to say as a pastor and what I truly believe. But again, I've had experiences in my life where God's word was more than just a means of grace. It was the Holy Spirit, like a comforter, wrapped around me. And in fact, I think about a summer, my first summer after my first year in college, I spent the summer in Sequoia National Park in California, which sounds idyllic, except all of the promises that had been made to me when I got the job were unfulfilled. And so I was stuck for housing in a cabin out in the woods by myself. And, you know, a big, strong man should not be afraid of that. And I wasn't necessarily afraid, but I was just lonely. And I thought, this is going to be a really long summer, and this is not what I expected. But I did have my Bible with me. My family and my church community made sure that that got packed. And I just had a hunger for God's word. And so eventually I got the right housing, and I actually met my wife that summer, my future wife, and it turned out to be a great summer experience. But for the couple of weeks that I was isolated, the Bible was my friend and my comforter and my strength. And again, the thought of somebody just not having access to that is I keep using the same word, but it's heartbreaking. I cannot imagine going through life without the Holy Scriptures, particularly during those very challenging times. And so my passion for Braille and specialized large print and even audio, which is a new feature and resource in blind and sight impaired resources, just means that people will have more access and connection with hopefully the church, but definitely with Christ and with faith.
Looking forward, what are the things that Lutheran Braille Workers is working on right now and what's yet to come?
So always working on the future. Technology is a big part of producing Braille, and it has been rather mechanical over the course of time, but is very digital these days. With digital, is constantly in need of upgrading. And so we're actually beginning to start a capital campaign. And part of that, what is really a comprehensive campaign, is to make sure that we have the resources to get the equipment that's needed to provide for Braille and specialized large print. So I had said before that there is a diminishing in the requesting for Braille, not when it comes to Bibles, but just in general. But that doesn't mean that there's less of a need for resources for blind or sight impaired persons. In fact, even with medical advances, the next 30 years are going to grow exponentially in folks who are blind or sight impaired, and they're going to need resources. So what are we doing? We're making sure that we're well-funded so that we can continue to produce, get the word out. There are people who don't know about us and what we do, and that it's free. Did I mention free? That it's free and that it's available. We also have many, many volunteers, and so we want to continue to support them. Actually, if you go to our website, it's LBW, Lutheran Braille Workers, loveworks.org. And that is a mouthful. And so somebody says it's way too complicated because it's also our email addresses, bwloveworks.org. And you say, what is all that about? What all those words? LoveWorks represents our production centers and our outreach centers where volunteers work to produce the Braille and large print resources, over 3,000 of them in over 120 congregations. And actually, I'm so proud and thankful that this coming weekend, St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Brooklyn, which is in New York, where I happen to reside, is becoming our newest production center and is receiving their training. And there's going to be a dedication service on Sunday at 4 p.m. And so that's exciting that a new production center and new volunteers are going to be utilized. And in the outreach centers, what are those? Those are centers that provide resources for blind or sight impaired persons. There's over 50 of them, and they often rely on volunteers to help as well. So LoveWorks talks about all the people that are involved in making what we do happen, and happen so productively, and happen in a way that really does help individuals one.
How can people learn more about those kind of volunteer opportunities or getting involved in their own communities?
Well, I kind of rushed that ahead, didn't I? But I think the website is the best place to go, and that's lbwloveworks, all one word, .org. And you can actually read lots more about Lutheran Braille Workers, and you can actually see a listing of all of the production centers and all of the outreach centers by state.
Good. LBWloveworks.org. Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Robert Hartwell. He serves as president of Lutheran Braille Workers. Dr. Hartwell, thank you so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golta.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.